services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The K-Man Morning Show is brought to you by Manhattan Meat Market. Stop by Manhattan Meat Market today and put the best of Kansas on your grill or smoker tonight. Manhattan Meat Market on Setchild Road and online at mhkmeats.com.
We're back here on In Focus. You're listening to News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, talking today with Alana Parker here from the Riley County Historical Museum. We're chatting about the short-lived Eureka Lake Resort and the Eureka Lake Electric Park as we move into summer months, as people we kind of get the perspective of what people did for fun back at the turn of the century here in the early 1900s. And we're chatting a little bit more here about some of the details here. And what was the next part you were going to talk about?
Oh, I think the part about the trolley line, yeah. I think, is really interesting. And one of the stories we were able to come across, there was a gentleman named George Zarger. And so he was there in 1909, when they were installing the trolley line tracks. So he helped construct that. And in the Manhattan Mercury, this was October 15th, 1957. So this was a quote here in the paper. "That washboard effect in some of Manhattan's streets wasn't caused by poor grade concrete. Those little bumps came from old rail ties left there when the streetcar tracks in Manhattan were covered with hard surface. The street department recently began taking out the old ties and filling in with asphalt mixture." So they do have a photo of that in the paper. So it says, "Shown above is George Zarger. Then he was 82 years old, so in 1957. So 82-year-old street department worker who helped with the original laying of the streetcar tracks back in 1909. And so here he is in this photo removing those trolley ties. And we do have one of those trolley ties at the Riley County Historical Museum, Society Museum's collection. And then we also have – so we have hundreds of generous donors who donate artifacts to the society and to build the collection. And one of my favorite artifacts, and this came in recently, is some of the trolley tokens that has an M stamped out of it or a J. So it's kind of neat to put those pieces together with the photographs and learn about the transportation at that time with the trolley. And I love that story, thinking about here is this man back in 1909. He's there installing this trolley line. And then in 1957, years later, here he is taking those ties up. So I love that story. I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, and I just like the aspect of the railroad and the trolleys, and you know, back in those days, that was the primary method of transportation, and especially if you're going to go somewhere of great distance, even 5 miles,
you didn't
have a lot of vehicles back then.
Right. Well, and then that's one of my favorite photographs also in the Society's collection. So it's, I believe it's 1914, but you can see there's the trolley line, you have automobiles, and you still have horses pulling wagons on Points Avenue. So I love you have that transition in technologies and like we're talking about in transportation, but it's just a wonderful photograph. You have the bustling Points Avenue, our main downtown today, and I can't drive down there without imagining what that would have been like. You've got the trolley, like I said, trolley car, the horse pulling the wagon, and then the automobile all together. And then there's another one with a bicyclist going through the cross street. So it's just wonderful. I really encourage, if you haven't been to the Riley County Historical Museum, please stop by. We are constantly working on updating exhibits and rotating out artifacts. We're very grateful for those who donate artifacts so we can showcase some different aspects of the history there. Always learning something every day. That's the thing I love about my job. You always learn something every day.
Absolutely. And we encourage anybody, if you want to give us a call in, maybe they have some family memories about the old electric park or the resort. I know no one alive would probably remember any of that, but maybe their grandfathers or their grandmothers.
Yes, and I have met a few individuals who actually remember when it was an orphanage, when it was owned by the Rebeccas and the IOOF, and when they had an auction out there. So when the orphanage closed, auctioning off some of those pieces. So I'd be curious to see if anybody knows where some of those ended up. And it's just a really, really fascinating history.
Absolutely. Again, Alana Parker joining us here. Now, the Eureka Lake Resort in itself, when it was opened in, what, 1901,
you said? 1901.
Was that a major destination here in for Kansans or just people in the Midwest in general?
I would say, so especially for Manhattanites, but that's what's interesting is I think, and this is the impression that you get, is that Dewey was very generous. So, of course, you would pay a fee to go out there. It'd be about $50 today, so $2 a day in 1901, which would be equivalent about $50 today. Which could be quite a bit of money for somebody. So C.P. Dewey would make sure to offer discounted rates, or he had a day where you could come out for free. Like I said in the paper, when you're referred to as the Manhattan Santa Claus, it comes with an air of generosity there. But he would also, being from Chicago and having connections to Virginia, he would bring in people from all over the Midwest that would come here. And then, of course, later, as I mentioned, you start getting those more electric parks. You know, Kansas City had an electric park. So this would be just about 10 years after the resort. But it's neat to see these more leisure time activities popping up. But I would absolutely say, of course, Manhattanites, that was kind of the place to be in the summer. Imagine going out there with picnics. And they had out at this resort, as I mentioned, a library. They had their own slaughtering sheds. So they would bring in, they had, and of course in the paper, some of that you take with a grain of salt, but they talk about the chef that it rivals any chef of Kansas City or Chicago, any of the big cities. So right out there at this resort that they would have fresh fruits and vegetables. So I would say this was definitely one of the places to be.
And you mentioned summertime fun here. But could people go any time of the year, or would there be just restrictions on that?
Well, so that's what's kind of interesting. It was open in the summertime. So they would have these large announcements in the Manhattan newspapers, local papers, about the Eureka Lake Resort opening. However, so in the wintertime, of course, you can't do some of those activities that you would do in the summer, but they would go ice skating out there. It was a popular place for ice skating. Also harvesting ice. We have a wonderful photograph of where they're harvesting ice. So this would, of course, be more on the work side, not the leisure side. But it was used frequently throughout the year.
Harvesting ice. I've never heard of that. So maybe you can kind of explain a little bit of what that means.
So they had ice houses here in Manhattan. Oh. So not like we have our conveniences today of just going to the refrigerator and or the freezer and getting fresh ice cubes. But they would actually harvest, cut the ice. And it's funny, I was talking to it was a younger student, but if you've seen the movie Frozen, you know, when they are harvesting the ice with the big saws, it's kind of to that effect. It kind of gives you that visual. It's funny. That was the best way to explain that to this student, is how you would cut the ice from the lake or the rivers and then store them. And like I said, we had just off of Points Avenue, there was a large ice house. So this started even in the 1880s where you're harvesting ice.
Wow. You know, and I'm showing my age here and kind of, okay, we have a call.
All right, wonderful. Well,
let's go ahead and go to the caller here. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning, Winston. Program. Maybe I missed this, but what year did they abandon Eureka Lake, and what was the final reason for their demise?
So in 1904 was when that resort, I'll say kind of abandoned. That's when C.P. Dewey passed away. So it was kind of thought his son would take over the resort and restart that. And then the following year, so 1905, there was a group of Manhattan businessmen who they tried to get together and restart this resort, but it kind of fell through financially and just logistically. So that's when it sold. So in 1906, so just 2 years after it closed, is when the resort sold to the Independent Order of Odd Fellows and the Rebecca State Assembly. And that's when they opened it as an orphanage and then an elderly home, essentially. So it was that for many years. And then, as I mentioned, in 1992 was when the Flint Hills Job Corps purchased the site, which is still what it is today. And then on the east side, so with the electric park, that kind of fell by the wayside after the trolley line closed and Will West, he kind of lost interest in that. And they would still play baseball games out there. And it was still a nice spot to visit, but it wasn't the same extent of a draw as it was when it opened. And that was actually the West family sold the park ground. So this is the electric park on the east side to the Free Methodist General Conference. And it was used as the summer campsite by the Kansas Annual Conference starting in 1923. And then the following year, the Free Methodist Church purchased the park land, and they used it for their statewide annual conference. So a lot of changing of hands of the property, and then 1975, it was sold to a private individual. And now K-18, like I said, cuts right through that electric park, and it's amazing. If you go to Google Maps, you can still see the outline of some of those manicured walkways that they had there. And I believe there is one building that's still standing from when the electric park was there.
Wow, fantastic. Let's take a break here, and we'll come back with more from Alana Parker, Riley County Historical Museum, when we return on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.